Well, what's up, work advisors? Yeah, my name's Brad. I'm the host who brings it on Work Advice for Me. And today, it has been brought. Dinner is served at the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, thank you for hitting play and listening, whatever you're doing. You're tuning someone out to hear me, which is more than Miss Work Advice my wife would do. I realize I give my wife such a hard time, but I don't mean it. She's a great wife. She is the best wife ever that's ever walked the face of the earth. So wives, if you're listening to this, my wife is better than you. That sounded mean, but in my world she is because she's my wife. I mean, she puts up with me. Hey, today's show is great. I mean, all our shows are great, but today's is great because I've always wanted to chat with people that make a career out of going to Disney. And lo and behold, Paula and Frank showed up on my Instagram. Now, how did I find Paula and Frank? Well, a few weeks ago on a previous episode, B and I talked about selling feet pics. I'm going to leave it at that. You can listen to the chat because I'm going to let Paula know how I found their page. It is funny. It is a great page. I encourage all of you to go on Instagram right now. Follow Work Advice for Me, of course, but also follow Paula and Frank's page, The Practically Perfect Family. They will show you tips and tricks at Disney to save money, what to do, what to expect. And it's January, so I know you're thinking about planning your summer vacay right now. Maybe you can listen to this and then book your Disney vacay. Or reach out to Paula and she can help you find a person to do it for you. She does say a travel agent is best when going to Disney. So anyway, good times talking to Paula and Frank. But before we get to Paula and Frank, I have a question. Love to read questions. You can send me a question or B. Slide into the DMs on Work Advice for Me on Instagram, or you can workadviceforme@gmail.com. This question comes from Emily in Orlando. Now, this is fun. What if she's at the Magic Kingdom right now? She's sneaking away and her husband's like, Emily, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm writing Brad an email. And he's like, what are you doing? We're trying to be I love how I've given Emily a husband now. Emily, if you're not married, I'm really sorry. But if you are, I hope this story played out the way in my brain it does. She says, Brad, I love, love, love Heidi Powell. I love the triple love. Does the triple love mean you love them more? Because my wife has only said, I love you. She's never said, I love, 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 love you. Although five loves, is that better than three? I don't know. I always thought one love meant a million loves. But I love that she loves Heidi Powell. She says, Brad, have you ever watched Extreme Weight Loss? And what does losing weight look like for you? Okay, you asked two questions. I'll answer them both. No, I have never watched Extreme Weight Loss. I might have watched 10 seconds of it. Sorry, Heidi. I know you're a friend of Work Advice for Me, but I've not watched much of Extreme Weight Loss. And how does weight loss look for me? Well, it's quit eating Little Debbie's. That's a big one. Quit eating junk and doing some walking. I like to walk every now and then. I'll park at the back of a parking lot. If I go to Walmart and I'll walk all the way up, my son hates it. He's like, why aren't you parking back here, old man? And I'm like, I want to get some steps in. So if you're listening, I encourage you to park at the back of the parking lot. Make sure you're under a light, though, if you're a lady. We don't want any weirdos, and it's dark, right? So if it's dark, don't park in the dark. Park in the light. But, yeah, sorry, Emily. I hope I didn't burst your bubble on the extreme weight loss. You probably are a big fan. But if you like extreme weight loss, let us know in the Instagram DMs. Don't forget, like and subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Yeah. Leave us good reviews. Not bad ones. We don't like bad reviews. Leave us good ones. Follow our show. Follow Paula and Frank on Practically Perfect Family on Instagram. If you have a question for B or I, leave it in the DMs on Work Advice for Me, or you can always email the show, workadviceforme@gmail.com. So with that being said, I'm putting on my bunny ears, and I'm going to chat with Paula and Frank. Enjoy. Okay, I have been looking forward to this conversation for the last week, and I know I say this a lot, but thank you guys for coming on and spending a little bit of time with me chatting about something that I find so fascinating. And I love the idea of what you guys do. So thank you guys first and foremost for taking a few minutes to chat.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This is the first time people are getting a bonus. We have two people on the line. This is the first time I've chatted with two. So y'all are the first ever, and I'm so happy for that. So if you hear two voices, listeners, it's a husband and wife, Frank and Paula. And we're going to talk life and Disney, because a lot of people love Disney. First, tell me and tell the listeners, what was your childhood like? And whoever goes first can go first.
Yeah, I'll start this one. So I think what we're probably looking for here is some relation to Disney. And we grew up going to Disney and all this crazy stuff. And although Paula had some experiences with that, I had not done that. I came through a very, lots of brothers, sister, lots of, you know, kids in our family, competitive athletic household, and kind of grew up through that. And that led me and Paula to meeting eventually in college through athletics. And, I think that it was a dangerous combination because we're so very alike in some ways, even though we're different in others. And one of the ways we're alike is we were both, extremely ambitious. So when we get on an idea, it's almost like an addiction. And mm-hmm. early in our marriage, when we had a 6-month-old or 8-month-old baby, we went to Disney World and I loved it. I loved that.
I kind of had to drag him. Like, I'm not going to lie. So when I was younger, you know, my dad was an electrician. My mom is a beautician. They worked super hard. And, you know, going to Disney was a huge deal, right? Like, it was, you save up a ton of money. It's like your big thing. So we had went like twice when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So once my sister, I had a sister. So once my sister and I got older, we were like, okay, we have to take our families now. So I had, our oldest, he was 6 months or no, he was 18 months. The first time we went, our daughter was 18 months and my sister had two kids. So we're like, okay, we gotta get to Disney. And Frank was kind of like, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, so we go, and long story short, so that was only about 12 years ago, 11 years ago, and we've probably made 40-ish, maybe 50 trips there about now.
Wow.
And because that's what we do. We get involved. We get addicted, and it's not what people think, and I'm sure we can expand on that as this conversation goes on. And we're not these, like, crazy Disney adults.
Kind of.
Right. But there's so much to offer and so much fun, and it has very little to do with Disney and just a lot to do with family and a lot to do with travel and experiences and stuff on kind of how we got to where we are.
Okay, let's circle back. I want to go back, Frank, to you. You said y'all met in college athletically. What was the sport y'all were playing?
So I was a baseball player. She was a she did track, so she was a heptathlete.
We were
at the University of Akron in Northeast Ohio here and met each other there. And
he heavily pursued me.
You heavily pursued.
What did that look like? I'm curious.
I pursued her no more heavily than any other girl I pursued at the time.
Quick side story is, you know, we were in the training room and he kept on. So we both were somewhat injured all the time, it seemed like. So, mm-hmm. you know, we'd both be in the training room getting something worked on. And he would always be talking to me and asking me to do stuff. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sometime. And I remember one night he texted me and he's like, hey, you want to get Chipotle? And I was so hungry and I didn't have any money. Like, my parents would give me like a set amount of money and when it was gone, it was gone. Mm-hmm. And I had no extra money. I'd already used my dining coins for the day. And I'm like, all right, like, I guess I'll give him a chance because I love Chipotle and I'm starving.
So
the rest was history.
I remember.
So Chipotle. Okay. Let's hear how Frank remembers this.
I just remember it more like I was probably the best catch on the baseball team. She was actually pursuing me, even though she'll never admit it.
I like that. And I like that y'all are brought together by Chipotle. That's the,
right.
Don't they advertise that their food is brought in fresh every day? Do y'all really believe that?
You know, so professionally, I get the opportunity to work with a lot of different businesses. And mm-hmm. I was actually recently talking with a person who runs a set, several Chipotles, and the amount of sales that they do, I almost don't see how it can't be brought in every day.
Wow.
Because the turnover, even more than you would imagine. So I probably, I would not have believed that, but kind of knowing what I know professionally, from what I get to do every day, I actually kind of do, because the numbers were kind of astonishing, you know, at $8 a pop, right?
Yeah.
So something you're going to see really easily is I'm the creative mind and Frank is the logical mind. So when you ask the questions, he's going to be the one that's going to give you the logical answer. And I'm going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I can relate to that. My wife's more the logical and I'm more the creative in our marriage too. So I would play the Paula role, Frank.
Right?
Sure.
But Chipotle in my town, I like Chipotle. I think it's probably the best fast Mexican food you can get, but they're never that friendly. In my town, they're not that friendly. It's like, let's get you to the line. We just want to get you through. They're not, sure. they're not that friendly there, but I do like it. It is good. Back to you, Paula, the electrician part, that's a pretty cool, your dad was an electrician. So did you expect Frank to be able to put a ceiling fan up when y'all got married?
So the funny story, I actually knew how to put a ceiling fan in and Frank didn't. So me and my dad had to teach Frank how to do it. So sometimes I'll still change out, little known fact about us, we've moved a lot. So when we get a new house or we want to change out light fixtures or anything, I'll be the one usually to be the one changing the light fixtures.
Yeah, my dad was a doctor. I don't do a lot of things with my hands.
I like that. I had to learn how to change lights when I got married, and every time I'm up there, I'm always nervous I'm going to get electrocuted. Like, I'm always thinking that in my head. Because I'm a moron when it comes to this stuff. So I'm
like kill the whole power, because I'm with you. I don't understand how it all shuts itself off. So we just kill the power.
Oh, you can't even be within 100 feet of a light switch. It's like he needs to be able to see everyone in the house and know where you are. So he knows.
Exactly. I'll kill the power. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I hope there's no charge left in this, because I could just get zapped. And then my wife would laugh at me and I wouldn't want that. So yeah, y'all are together now. excuse me. You said that you went to Disney, Paula. How many times as a child? I'm just trying to.
I think like two or three. Because admittedly, and I would never barely admit this, but when I was younger, Disney and Universal were interchangeable, right? Like when you went to Disney, like you went to Universal too, or vice versa. So in a lot of people's minds, still, and it's something us in the Disney community kind of joke about now, is like if someone says they went to Disney and saw like Harry Potter, it's like a huge joke. But admittedly, that was me when I was younger. It was like you went to Florida and it was either Universal or Disney that you went to, and it was all Disney.
What time frame are we looking at right here? Is this like late 90s for you, mid 90s? Where are we? What kind of Universal are we talking? Because it's changed, right?
Yeah, so it would have been early 90s, then mid 90s probably. So like when, you know, the original King Kong was there, and you know, the Jaws, and you know, there was no Twister at that time. It was whatever it was before, and like or maybe it was Twister, I don't remember, but yes, it's a very different Universal. There was no Harry Potter.
so that begs the question I've been wanting to ask you guys. Why, okay, there's a lot of opportunity for what you both do on being influencers. I guess it's your influencers for people that want to go to Disney, right? That's probably who a lot of people watch your Instagram for, right? Am I wrong?
So it started out that way. So when I started doing it, it was an accident. I did not set out to be an influencer, not at all. Even saying the word influencer still feels so weird.
Okay, I won't say it anymore.
Kind of...
I won't say it.
but yeah, when I started, it was an accident. It was kind of, you know, everyone was going through COVID, right? And trying to find ways to cope and trying to find ways to connect. And, you know, we had been going to Disney forever. And I think it was my sister who had said, like, you should make a funny video. And I had already like made some friends that did it. And I was like, I don't know. So I made one and it did pretty well. So,
what was it? Do you remember? What was it?
It was something along the lines of like, am I okay? And no, because I'm not at Disney. Kind of a thought.
Okay.
And so there's this other guy that's a coach on Instagram, and he does this 30-day challenge where he's like, okay, post a reel for 30 days and, you know, see how it does. So every day for 30 days, I posted a reel. And I did Disney because that's what I love. And it just kind of took off. And so for a long time, we steered really hard into the Disney side. And then people really started to follow us as a family. You know, mm-hmm. when it started, it was more people just liked the funny content. And then quickly it became people liked the Practically Perfect family. They liked, you know, the girls. Frank is like a whole character on there pretty much because he doesn't smile. And then we really started branching out from there to like different travel, just different ways to bring magic into everyday life, right? Whether it be at home, you know, wherever you go, you can find a bit of Disney magic, it seems like. And so we've really just from there been tracking our, you know, adventures as a family all around.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of that's where like I enter. So, you know, I'm a CPA. I'm a partner at a CPA firm and have mm-hmm. a very analytical mind. So naturally it started to be, well, if you're going to take this serious as what may become someday a business venture, you know, we have to stay focused. We have to have a plan. You know, we have to have a target audience and going through conversations like that. And it is less specific to the Disney, but you know, it's the most visited theme park in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Walt Disney World. So there's a large natural crowd to that. And the people that love it, love it. But, you know, we all love escapism, right? I mean, even me and Paula, you know, we love watching YouTube of other people doing their travels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do that often. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that it's not just like our kids' generation or something like that. It's society probably always loved that because, you know, reality TV kind of bridged the gap between what we all used to watch growing up to this like escapism now to where mm-hmm. we like seeing what other people are doing and we like seeing what else is out there. And we love watching that stuff. And it was just kind of this natural growth into, we love watching other people's travels and other people's adventures. We were traveling and adventuring a lot, which is a major distinction. And then we turned it into kind of what it is now. And I say it's a major distinction that we were traveling and venturing a lot because, you know, you can tell when someone's not genuinely getting involved into this world. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just documenting what we were already doing and what we continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not documenting it as diligently as maybe like someone on YouTube or something like that. You know, it's through Instagram stories and these Instagram reels. And it's just kind of like us planning, traveling, and then, you know, getting the what we're calling the Disney blues after you get back. Whether it's at Disney or somewhere else, just kind of like, now what's next? You know, that's over. But it comes from a place of, we were talking about this the other day, we lost so much content on the front end of this because we were doing what we do now for years before it became something that Paula started doing on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we lost a lot of content. But it just comes out of a place of us being genuine and doing what we like to do and just turning it into something that other people can kind of watch and follow along with us.
So, going to Disney, you said you've gone, what, 40 times? Is that right? 40?
Probably something like that, yeah.
So, you have an analytical mind. Do you go, when Paula comes and says, let's go to Disney, do you go, okay, we can go, and we're going to fit it in this amount of money per trip? Like, we're gonna spend this amount of money, or do you set, like, a sandbox for y'all to play in?
So we've been very fortunate. We have a very fortunate existence. We have supportive families. We've had great careers, the both of us. So we are fortunate, and we understand that a lot of the travel we do, you know, may not be accessible to everybody at every moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
As we've gained steam over the years, things have happened to where we've gotten lots of sponsored trips and lots of opportunities through whether it's being hosted or whether it's being paid to go or different things, that's allowed us to kind of accelerate that even more.
But when we first started, it was definitely like the first time we visited, we stayed at an off-property timeshare. And, you know,
we've stayed at every single resort at Walt Disney World property. I think there's like 26 of them.
Oh, wow.
Everything from,
right.
everything from whatever the least expensive, maybe
bucket list last year,
yeah, maybe the All Star Resorts, clear up to everything, the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian, the Contemporary. I mean, everything. We've done everything.
Best resort. Which one's your favorite?
Riviera.
The Riviera.
Frank loves Riviera. I have too. I love the Polynesian. Just the vibe so much. The only thing I don't like is that it's disconnected. Like, we really like the big lobby like feel. Mm-hmm. Where the Polynesian has like the bungalows that are like in every like the houses that are disconnected.
Oh,
yeah, long houses. But then the Grand Floridian, like you just can't. I know it's expensive and it's probably not even worth what you pay for it, but it's just, I don't know, it's so classic. It's classic Disney and I just love it. But
we love them all at different times of our lives. You know, we were just talking to a family who was going for, they have young kids who are going for the first time. And I think the best place to stay with young kids is Art of Animation, because there is these family suites. There's a reason. There's a place in it for everybody.
Right. There's Skyliner.
You don't have to go stay at the most expensive place. And stay at the closest to the park. You just need to find what works for your family. And at different points of our lives, different resorts work for our family. And that's part of the reason we got to experience them all.
What's your least favorite one? If one that you'd be like, yeah, if I don't stay there again, it's okay.
So for me, it's the big spread out one. It has nothing to do with the quality of the hotels or the rooms, but take like a Caribbean beach or something like that. The ones where it's like you feel like you're in a giant condo complex or townhome complex where there's just like what feels like hundreds of buildings spanning over tens of miles. It's not that extreme, but where it just feels like it's so spread out. I don't like those. And as a family, those have not been great for us because we are a constantly doing something kind of family. We don't spend a lot of time sitting, watching TV or doing nothing or relaxing, some would say. And because of that, having close access to pools, restaurants, transportation, that kind of stuff matters to us. So the big spread out ones would probably be the least favorite of ours.
Are these resorts, are they all just like a tram ride or a monorail ride to the park, or do you have to still drive within the park to get to the park?
So it varies between like resorts. So like you have your basic ones that are on the monorail. So those ones have that monorail where you can walk. Then there's ones that they added the new Skyliner. So there's just a handful that do the Skyliner and a handful there's boats or there's buses. But
every resort has
buses. So
they do make it efficient. Part of the other reason we like going to Walt Disney World is we do feel like it's a very efficient vacation. We feel like you get what you pay for in the sense of there's efficient transportation. There's lots of it. We've always had good experiences with the people and them being nice and helping to resolve issues if they come up. Because listen, it's travel, right? Issues come up, whether it's issues on our end or issues on their end. Things happen, even at places like Disney World. It's been some of the most tolerant and some of the nicest people we've ever worked with have been at Disney World to try to still make your vacation better, even when things aren't going right. But they do a really good job of moving people around the resort.
Right. They call it the Disney bubble for a reason. Like, once you enter those gates, it's a whole different world.
And they incentivize you to stay on the property, right? So you can get early ride access. Don't they offer that early ride access? And
yeah, so you get in an hour early to any park if you're staying on property. And then they also have, like, if you stay at deluxe resorts, they have select nights where you get extra hours at nighttime. That's only for, like, deluxe resorts. They definitely incentivize you for, like, the more money you spend, the more you get.
How many Disney parks have you been to? Do you mostly go to Disney World? Or are you a Disneyland? What are the Disney parks?
Yeah, so we're not flyers. We don't fly.
Okay.
So we've been to Walt Disney World and obviously all the parks in the Orlando area, and we've done Disney cruises. Other than that, we've had multiple times where Disneyland's been on our agenda and it's gotten crossed off for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because we need to do a cross-country train trip to make that happen. Which we tested for the first time last year on what it was like to travel by train. And, but we don't fly. So the international parks, we will get there someday. We just going to have to take a lot of logistical planning on how we're going
to
do it.
Is it flying? Do you not fly because you don't want to fly or because you got family or you don't want to get in the airplane?
So I actually had a traumatic experience my senior year of high school.
Oh, okay.
Where like my plane went into like a nosedive and the mask came down and everyone was screaming. My dad blacked out. So it's just like when I say I have a fear of flying, it's beyond that.
That's real.
I've tried. I even get nervous when I see airplanes in the sky. I feel like my palms start to sweat. So it's something I'm trying to work on, but.
And I used to fly all the time. And then it would be like every time before I left, like, did you write all the account numbers down? Do I have all your passwords kind of thing? And it's like, eventually that wears on you and you're like, you know, I don't think I'm going to fly anymore.
Yeah, I'm just going to give up flying. It's a hassle. I fly a good bit and it's just a pain going to the airport all the time. And it's, I totally get that. Now, back to the Disney. So when you go to Disney, what's your favorite park there?
So it depends on the trip and it depends on what we're trying to do. If it's us and the girls at this current state, like our girls are riders, right? So, mm-hmm. So maybe like a Hollywood Studios, they love, or Epcot for Guardians ride or something. They love big, fast rides. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
But Magic Kingdom is the best, right? Like you can't beat Magic. Like if you are going to one park, you have to go to Magic Kingdom because that's just like so magical. And there's so many rides, like especially if you're like have little ones and you need to hit as many as you want. There's just so many options at Magic Kingdom. It's the best.
Yeah, but like me and Paula did an adults only trip in September and we did go to Magic Kingdom, but Epcot would probably be more of our focus on a trip like that.
We were there for four days.
Yeah, we were there for 4 days and rode four rides, I think. It was, we just weren't worried about the rides. We were worried about other things.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, as a kid, my family, we would go to Disney World. It's funny what you take for granted because I think the first time I went to Disney World was in 1987, right? And we would go every year, every other year as a kid. I probably went 8-9 times. Felt like that. And sure. Epcot was always my least favorite park to go to as a child. But now as an adult, I look at what they have and I'm like, that's my kind of park right there. You can eat very well over there.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny. We actually... our kids, since they were little, Epcot's been one of their favorite ones, but we really found ways to include them in it, right? Like, mm-hmm. So, like, as you're going around the world, there's little things called kid cots. So you can stop and they'll, I don't remember what it is now. When they were younger, it was bears that they used to decorate, and there'd be representative from each country that would show you how to spell your name or write your name in a different language. And when we got to... is it Japan? The gift shop is so cool. So the girls would get to pick out something from
like all the stuff they see on YouTube, like all the like Pocky or these different things.
So let's go find a food like and buy it, mm-hmm. that you've never tried or that you've seen a YouTuber try. And they got really interested in that. And I think that helped them. And now, of course, there's tons of rides in there with Frozen and Remy. That's been kind of controversial with the Epcot thing. So I think Disney's done a great job of making it more kid friendly.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, we would spend a day at Epcot and they had a ride there. I don't know if it's still there. It probably can't. It is probably not there. Did y'all ever ride the land?
Living with the Land is still there and one of our favorite rides.
Okay. As an adult, I think that's great. You're looking at all this different vegetation growing, right? But as a 9-year-old, it was like, oh my gosh, we got to wait in line to ride the land? Yeah,
right? Our kids don't love it, but the cafe that's right outside of it has some of the, they always have fantastic dessert offerings and mm-hmm. then like some like exclusive like cupcakes or whatever. And the kids know that when we're in that building, mom's going to get one of those for Instagram. So they don't hate it for that reason.
Okay. What about Magic Kingdom? What's your go-to ride in Magic Kingdom? The best ride?
I personally like Pirates probably because it's like that classic kind of what Disney means to us. Because again, it's an amusement park, right? It's an entertainment facility, but there's a lot more to it, a lot more in the history of how it came up, how it was made, the technological advancements that were needed to get it to where mm-hmm. it was able to open, right? And Pirates is kind of like a culmination of a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's kind of like that classic ride. And I think Paula's favorite is another one that...
Right, the Haunted Mansion is my favorite. So
you know, these are just examples of things that like, basically didn't exist before they made them, between the animatronics, between the ride vehicles, but the way that they shuttled people through them. I mean, these things didn't exist, and these things were created from our understanding, from support of things like the New York World's Fair and stuff, like I think it was 1964, like where these big companies were partnering with Walt Disney to create some of these ideas. And seeing that stuff still hold up in 2023 is amazing. The fact that it is even something, because I'm sure that you've seen attractions or things that from when we were kids, and then you go back and visit as an adult, and you're like, wow, this is not cool at all. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen at Disney, right? Like you're riding rides that were literally made like in the 1970s or 60s even, mm-hmm. and they still hold up to this day with improvements, of course, but not a ton. I mean, it's just amazing the stuff that they were able to do and how it just is still usable technology to this day.
What's the ride in Tomorrowland? I love it. It's from the World's Fair where you see different times.
Carousel of Progress.
I love that ride. That's such an old man ride, though, but it's a good ride.
That's what people call an air conditioned brake.
Yes. Okay.
But we love it.
Okay, first I got to ask you guys about this because this is big in the news right now, and I've been itching to find out your perspective on this. What is going on at Disney World where people are pooping in lines?
I saw that. I don't know if it's true or not. I've only seen it through Instagram and stuff like that. I've never heard of it in the park. But yeah, I'm seeing the same stuff you are.
I actually don't know what we're talking about. Right. I'm actually a current events guy. I'm less on social media, more in like the news current events. And
yeah, they're saying like Flight of Passage put bathrooms halfway through because it was a pretty.
Well, it's because the lines are so long. I mean, it does. So one of the things that would when they built the Star Wars land in Hollywood Studios, one of the things that I thought was a really good idea for them financially and also for the guest experience was. They put places where they sell like snacks and drinks and stuff inside of the line, which I think was for, I can't remember which ride. But so there was actually a place like midway through the line where you could like buy food and drinks for your kids, which is amazing because, you know, every parent is trying to get their kids something to keep them quiet at that point in time, right? So they're going to sell like a million items a day. Mm-hmm. So from their perspective, but also from ours, wildly convenient that if you forgot to grab a bottle of water or a Coke or something before you got in line, there it is. You don't have to get out of line to go do that.
Okay.
And I think they're probably just working on making things more accessible for the guests to improve the guest experience would be my guess.
But we've been a victim, not of poop, but, when our youngest was maybe two, you know, we were in the line for what was the Great Movie Ride, which was one of our family's favorite. Now it's Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And my daughter's like, Mom, I gotta pee. And I'm like, just wait. We're in line. We're not getting out of line. Just wait. And I sit her on my lap and she couldn't wait. So we get off the ride and the whole seat's wet. The whole front of me's wet. And, I learned my lesson that she wasn't kidding.
But it is funny. Like I'm reading the article right now and employees say that people actually, instead of exiting, we'll poop in the line. I feel like that would be an uncomfortable experience. I would not want to do
where
that.
Where do you go from there? Like, what's your after that plan? Like,
yeah, what's your end game?
Sit on a ride.
Yeah,
There's no ride at any theme park that is that good.
No. If I have to go poop, I'm definitely getting out of the line and heading to the bathroom. There's no good end game to pooping in a Disney line and then getting on Space Mountain. And
right. Oh.
Oh, and you're probably is Space Mountain a single or a double? Is it a single rider or a double?
It's a single at Walt Disney World, double at Disneyland.
Okay, so let's imagine you're on a double, but you're by yourself and you get stuck beside the dude that just used the bathroom. That's a nightmare. But
yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys about this. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to ask them about what's going on at Disney with the pooping situation in the lines. So with Disney, the lines are always long. Is there a good month where you can go to Disney and go, I can pretty much only wait 20 minutes and get on good rides? Is there a time of year where that exists or does it not exist?
It used to, but honestly, now with the reservations and how things are, it's pretty much busy all the time. Honestly, the most important thing is planning ahead. So I just had someone call me like a few weeks ago and they're in the park and they're like, how do I get on Tron? And I'm like, well, you had to get a pass at 7 o'clock this morning. Like, it's too late. There's nothing you can do now. So Disney has really made it so that you have to really, really, really plan ahead. Like, there's just no option. So one thing that we always recommend is using like a travel agent, because travel agents are actually free. Not a lot of people know that. But so they'll book your trip for you, and they'll take care of it and help you book dining and everything. And that's like,
yeah. And when Paula says a reservation system, what she's referring to is like, so prior to COVID, you just kind of went to Disney World. Mm-hmm. Post COVID, there is like a park reservation system. And I think eventually that's dropping off or something similar to that. You also use magic bands now, and these magic bands, from our understanding, have these like RFID chips in them that they can kind of see where people are at in the park, right? Because that band opens up your hotel door. You can make charges on it, like at any paying kiosk. And from my understanding, they can kind of see where people are at. So if you think about, if you ever played like one of those like amusement park tycoon games or one of those things when you were a kid, I kind of think they can see where groups of people are, where support's needed, where they may need to open up some more stuff because this park's busy today, or, you know, there's just an expectation from their end. But it's also allowed them to level it out, I think, from a crowd flow perspective. So it's not that it's busier than it was. It's that it's never less busy, like have these downtimes like it used to, because it feels like with different promotions and different things they're doing, they're steering people a lot more evenly throughout the resort. So, throughout the year.
So what do you do if you are not a planner and you go, I'm just going to Disney for the day, and y'all show up and you haven't, do you just not get on rides?
It could be tough. Yeah. It could be challenging. That's why planning is so important. And you know, if I was a local, I could see how that could be annoying to the experience, because it used to be something to where you can go kind of pull off a day with your kids that you didn't choose to do until that morning. That probably doesn't exist for those people anymore. And that's a little bit, from our understanding, more a Disneyland problem, because Disneyland has a lot more of like a local crowd that attends it. So, but at Walt Disney World, you know, it's like the biggest tourist destination in the United States or whatever. And it's so many people coming in from out of town constantly. And that's probably their once in a lifetime or a few times in a lifetime trip. And because of that, I think it's for the greater good that some of this organizational stuff was put in place, because it does probably improve the overall experience for the bulk of the consumers that are coming through their gates, as opposed to just helping the locals or, you know, helping the out of town people or something like that.
So you kind of know going in, if you've done a great job of planning, you know how many rides you're going to get to ride that day.
In a way, you still have to continue to make reservations throughout the day and do different things using their app and using Genie Plus. It's one of those things where you kind of start the day with a clean slate and you can set yourself up to have a good day, maybe not a great day guaranteed, but a good day with rides and different things. But the lack of using it, you're pretty much setting yourself up for having a bad day. So we've become very spoiled, because we lost the pressure of treating Disney World like a once in a lifetime experience. Like, we're only going to get to go today and we have to get on that ride. If we can't get on something, we just do something else. There are so many different things to do beyond rides at the Disney World Resort that we just always find something new and exciting and fun to do, and have never had trouble kind of fulfilling ourselves from that perspective, even if we haven't gotten to ride all the rides we want to ride. And we keep low expectations.
And I think that's like one of the most important things, like when going to Disney, is not having too many expectations. Because I think, like Frank said, everyone treats it as this one and done, and it might be, but you can ruin your whole trip by setting too many expectations. Where, you know, if you just kind of go with the flow, and if you don't get to do the thing that you really wanted to do and still enjoy the magic, you can still have a great time. So just not getting caught up on the, you know, maybe one thing, or, you know, yeah, it's just, try to be flexible, but be prepared, if that makes any sense.
What's your least favorite ride in Disney? That you do it, but you're like, yeah, I just ride it.
Barnstormer.
What is
the
that?
The thing hurts your back so bad. My kids love it. So,
and that's in the Magic Kingdom.
When they were old enough to finally ride by themselves, I remember just sending them up the ramp and sitting at the end and just waving at them, and they just kept on going around and round, and I'm like, have fun.
What about you, Frank? What's your least favorite ride?
It, you know, I don't know if I necessarily have a least favorite because I've never ridden the teacups. I don't like things that spin.
I'm with you. I don't like going in circles. Yeah, I don't like spinning.
Anything that spins, I generally don't ride. But, you know, there were times when the Triceratops ride, which just is almost a standard carnival ride at Animal Kingdom, where I would never pick that as a ride that I would A, ride, or B, look forward to riding. I would consider that a worse, but it was my kid's favorite at the time. So, you know, I'm a little...
Like getting to see them.
Yeah, I'm a little more of a... We got two girls, so they kind of get what they want and they know how to ask for it. And when we see them having a good time, I fall for that too easily. So it could be my least favorite, but their favorite, and I'll still go do it because that's just what dad does, I guess.
I used to like the ride, and I don't think it's there anymore. Was it called Alien Encounter?
No, so that was the Great Movie ride.
Oh, it was?
Maybe. There was also the Magic Kingdom.
Are you talking about the one where the alien was in the middle and it like...
Yes. Is that Alien around? Encounter? Yeah. What was that called? That was a good ride. I like that one.
And then it became
Labor Under Stitch, like Lilo and Stitch. That was actually like... That closed right around when we started going to Disney World.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I think I got to ride it one time, maybe.
It was good. It was intense. It was more of a teenager ride than a kid ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt more Universal.
It did. I did love Back to the Future at Universal. That was one of my favorite rides.
Yeah. I love that too. And now I think the Simpsons took it over and that ride makes me so sick.
Really?
Yeah. The motion and the screens are kind of blurry. I can't even ride it now. So
yeah, it's changed so much. What are your favorite Disney movies?
Oh, wow.
I like the Indiana Jones stuff and
that's not like Disney.
Does that count as Disney? That counts as Disney now, but I'm talking like...
Right, that's right.
I'm talking about when you wish upon a star.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I remember growing up watching
I know what your favorite is.
What?
Hercules.
So we grew up in that Disney Renaissance age, right? Where Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Hercules.
Lion King,
and then Aladdin. I know it wasn't Disney then. But then I know it wasn't Disney then, but the Pixar movies, the Toy Story movies, that was the Toy Story movies. We were growing up during that. So those were we've seen all those movies a million times. Probably though, one of the things that we kind of got into during this process before we started doing Instagram stuff was kind of the history of the animation. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty cool exhibits at Walt Disney World and at maybe the Disney 100 exhibit where we've seen different things. And we started collecting animation art, and we got hooked up with a pretty cool animation art dealer out of the Washington, D.C. area and got to learn a little bit from him. And it really made us appreciate how animation is created, not now with computers and technology, but how it was created back when Snow White came out, which was, the first feature length animated film. Mm-hmm. The process of that is unbelievable on how that works with the hand drawing, the hand painting, the photography. I mean, it's just crazy. So through that process and our collection of animation art, I think we became pretty big fans of things like Snow White, things like Sleeping Beauty, some of these, old school animated feature films. Less about watching the movie and more just a fan.
I love the art of Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, just a fan of the process and how they had to do it and the work that goes into that.
And Bambi. Bambi was good. And Pinocchio.
Oh, I can't do Bambi.
It is sad. It's very sad.
It's so sad.
It is.
Bambi and Dumbo, those two movies, I can't. I start bawling. I'm a crier, so I usually cry at everything. But those just are next level. I can't do them anymore.
I'm glad Disney reversed course and are CGIing the dwarves in the new Snow White movie. Because you want to see what you remember as a child, right? And to not have the dwarves there, I think that, is that politically correct? I guess it's politically correct, right? I mean, I don't, to say that.
I don't know.
But I know they weren't going to have the dwarves as dwarves, but now they're going to, I saw a photo where they're actually bringing them back. So they're going to look like the cartoon, which I think is a cool move.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think they're doing that. They said they're going to make them the dwarves again because you want to see what you remember as a child. Because I liked Snow White as a kid, and gosh, that movie's so old. It is really old at this point, right?
It was 1937, maybe.
Did y'all happen to see the Disney short I watched that at my house a couple weeks ago, the Disney 100 short where all the cartoon characters were together.
We were actually at the D23 Expo in Walt Disney World, and they premiered it there ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, there was not a dry eye in the room. There was a several-minute standing ovation afterwards. I mean, I sobbed. That was truly magical. And
I want to be clear for anybody who knows me that's listening that my eyes were dry.
Okay. I was going to ask you to clarify
it.
That, Frank.
Good show.
I was going to ask you to clarify that.
I think I saw it here.
It was very good. And the people who created that were there and got to speak about it. And they were fantastic guys. And they were so honored, you know, from hearing them talk about this process on who they got to work with. And they got to animate some of these historical characters. And they got to meet some of these original voices and different things.
They actually came up with the concept kind of behind the scenes and didn't even like get it approved. So they pretty much like came up with this idea, did it all, and was kind of like, hey guys, we did this.
And then it got greenlit, and I think it got
yeah,
developed really from there. But it was really cool getting to see the making of that. So things like D23, you know, really allowed us to see something like that. And just seeing that process and then what it means to a lot of those people. Because again, there's this weird, we get it a lot from what I would consider hate comments or whatever you call them, mean comments on Instagram of, you know, these Disney adults and these people are crazy and different stuff like that. And it's so far beyond people putting Mickey Mouse ears on their head and walking through a theme park, right?
Yeah.
There's so much more to it. There's so much history. There's so much technology. There's so much innovation. And then there's also so many things other than rides. There's culinary experiences. There's these beautiful resorts. Which have beautiful weather in Florida, right? There's other reasons to go there. And there's just so much. There's something for everybody when you're looking at something like Walt Disney World. And it's just like an entertainment giant.
First, the internet trolls are terrible. I don't understand why they would be that way. Look, you do what you love to do in life, right? And I find it fascinating that you can make Disney, you know, we can live vicariously through what you guys do, you know, at Disney World. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I actually like that. So, yeah, the internet trolls, who cares, right?
We enjoy it, and we've always just done us, and that's kind of been one of our family mottos is we're going to do what we like to do and how we like to do it, and we hope that people want to follow along, and if they don't, they don't have to.
Well, it's funny how I came across you guys, so... we do a recap show, so we'll recap, my co-host B and I will recap every episode, and we'll recap this, and we started talking about, in a recap, about how people will sell sweaty socks to people. And
I was wondering if this video was going to come up.
Yeah, and then B, she was like, you know, that people have foot, they sell their foot pics. And my wife was in studio, and I was like, you know, my wife's got pretty feet. And we were joking. But then the next day, I get, B sends me on Instagram, your reel of when you had your foot there. And I was laughing so hard. I said, I want to get her on the pod, because that's our kind of humor, right? We laugh at that stuff. And yeah, that's how I found you guys, and I'm so glad that we talked about feet and B sent me your reel that just happened to come up.
It's funny because the most hate comments I've got, so I've been doing this for 2 years now,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I'll get hate comments here and there, but the most comments that I've gotten hate is how ugly my foot is.
What?
And
okay.
I never take anything personal, but for some reason I'm like, I didn't think it was that bad.
To me, I wasn't even paying attention to the foot. It was
right,
more...
Like that's what, I didn't even think of it. It's a joke, right? Like, I didn't even look at my foot. Like, I didn't even think of my foot as being, like, I don't know. That video has been went so far beyond me and, like, what I would have even thought. I didn't think...
She posted it, and I immediately texted her and was like... So we do a family approach, right? We mm-hmm. have try not to have any cussing, any negative connotation, anything that's overly sexualized or anything like that, kind of on the stuff that we do.
Mm-hmm.
She said that to me, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. I think it's funny. Don't get me wrong. It's like Saturday Night Live funny. Like, I don't know if that's what we were thinking was going to happen on the page kind of thing. And then fast forward to today and there's like 20 something million views on that video, right? It's actually been her biggest video ever. I don't know what that says about society. I think it's like 50-50 of people that get it for the humor and that people, she's gotten a lot of weird requests that have come out of that video.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. Some definite people in my DMs.
A lot of weird requests.
I didn't think the whole thing through. Would I do it again? I don't know, but.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you did it because right? I'm glad you did it because it got me to see your page. I'm glad you did it so B's mind's in the gutter and she could see that to then send to me. I wouldn't have seen that. So, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I don't have a lot of guys that follow me. For the most part, it's women.
Mm-hmm.
But for this one, I think a lot of wives or a lot of husbands sent this video to their wives, like you better get on it, hun. So it's definitely opened up the page to a lot more.
Those are husbands and wives that don't understand how the algorithm works. There's a reason that popped up for them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why is it popping up for B? Has she been searching feet pics or, you know, I'm going to have to ask her that in the recap. What's with the feet pics, B? But it was ironic. Maybe the phone hears us talking about that, right? And then.
Sounds like that.
Because we were talking about it last week on a recap show, and the next thing you know, she's sending me an Instagram reel of your foot. And at the end of the day, the only one that needs to like your foot is Frank. And as long as Frank likes looking at your feet, totally cool, right?
Honestly, I don't know if I've ever looked at him.
Oh.
We've been married for 15 years now, maybe 14 years.
Never looked.
We've been married for 14 years. She called it, Paula's not the math person. She just... I just said we were married for 14 years, and she said I wasn't 16.
I also have a really good Disney math video that I did, so.
So y'all got married in 2009. Is that right?
Correct. That is correct.
I was married in 2010, so we're around at the same time. Yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad you're encouraging her to sell feet pics to go to Disney World. Let's put that in the show notes. I'm kidding. I'm
sure.
Yeah, Disney all around encompasses the world. I'm glad that you guys took some time to chat with me today about it. One more thing. So you talk about being a total nerd. What do y'all nerd out on outside of Disney?
So we're a Harry Potter family. We're like, you know, Disney family. We're a Marvel family. We don't do a lot of traditional like. I don't know. We don't have these real like fandoms or anything that we're involved in like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We're like not sports people. We both play college athletics like we talked about, but like, I don't know when the last time we watched a sporting event on TV.
Oh, wow.
We watched Loki as a family. We watched all the Marvel movies as a family. Oh,
we watch other people travel on YouTube as a family.
Indiana Jones.
We just enjoy Star Wars. That.
Can I ask you this then? Cause I'm glad you brought this up. I was talking to my buddy yesterday about Marvel, and I was talking to him about how I've been reading that Marvel movies are not tracking as well as they used to with people. Do you think, because I'm not a Marvel guy, like I watch them. I went and saw the new Thor. I love the new Thor. I thought it was pretty good. I have my personal, the Black Panther movies. I enjoy those. Do you think it's hard for someone like me who doesn't watch all the Disney shows to go to a movie like The Marvels that's coming out and understand what's going on if I haven't seen the backstory?
So I think there is a certain amount of things that are happening in the Disney Plus series and in that mm-hmm. is setting up next episodes or the next movies and stuff like that. So I don't think it makes it impossible. My guess is that the powers that be at places like Marvel and Disney are cognizant of the fact that they have to have a movie that follows a timeline yet can be standalone or else mm-hmm. it's never going to be a billion-dollar franchise again or a billion-dollar movie again. But I would find it to be somewhat challenging. I mean, take like the Doctor Strange and that Multiverse of Madness. Without watching WandaVision, you would have probably been lost.
And I think that's a problem, right? They need to be more appealing to anybody, right?
I would say. I mean, kind of my view on Marvel at the current time is as great of a storytelling as it was and as an adventure as it was through that first like 25 or 30 movies, through that whole first couple phases, it's going to be hard when you don't have like the Robert Downey Jr.'s and the Chris Hemsworth and the, you know, those mainstream people that mm-hmm. became so synonymous with those parts. even though we do have some carryovers into this next phase, without having a lot of those like actors and actresses that are absolutely just carrying it, I think it's going to be hard because we are huge fans, as you guys can tell. This is part of our livelihood, right? Like we're very much into the direction all this stuff is going. We don't feel the same appeal over Marvel movies currently as we did when Endgame was coming out and Infinity War and all these different movies and the Thor movies even before that. And, you know, we still watch them, but you just feel like something's lost. And I was reading something that maybe there's some talks happening with Scarlett Johansson and maybe some opportunities for some of the old characters to come back through like these flashback movies or something. And something like that would be amazing. And I think they would see immediate success. It's like watching Tiger Woods play golf.
Yeah.
He can play whatever golf term he wants to play. Everyone's going to watch. If he doesn't play, everybody doesn't seem to watch.
Are you a DC fan at all, or is it just Marvel?
It's really just been Marvel. And actually, the superhero thing came late for us. We missed probably the prime of it. We were raising a family, and we weren't as involved kind of into this.
We had a lot of princess movies going on.
We had a lot of princess movies going on, so we kind of missed like that, and we've just never gotten into DC. Someday, I'm told that the Batman movies...
When I was younger, I used to watch Batman with my dad.
But not even, what's the Dark Knight movie?
I haven't seen the new ones, but the older ones.
But I'm talking
the Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
The Michael Keaton movies.
Yeah, sorry. Michael Keaton, yep.
Yeah, that's
We've not seen a lot of stuff, and I've always taken the approach we have hopefully a long time in life to watch those, and it'll be awesome the first time we see it, just as it was when they came out.
A couple things I'll pitch to you guys that I've always thought. One, DC can't compete with Marvel. It's tried and it fails. What do you think about this idea? I believe DC should do the opposite of what Marvel does. DC should gear all their movies to adults. They should all be like R-rated superhero movies and do the opposite of the PG-13 Marvel approach where they want to appeal to the 12 and 13 year old boys and girls who watch it. I think that might would help. I think that might would help DC a lot. Do more action, more violence, you know, whatever it takes. Make it more realistic and gritty. I don't know. I think that.
Yeah,
second thing about the park that I wanted to bring up earlier, they always, we see in the news, the park fees are going up. Like the rates, the day rates are going up, right? They're just skyrocketing. What if they let you park for free and just added some of that into the ticket? Because how much does it cost to park at Disney if you don't stay on property?
I think it could be $30, $40 a day maybe. It is. And there's those things. And again, that's why like working with professionals, like travel professionals and stuff can be helpful because hopefully people can save money because it is pricing a lot of families out. And that's terrible for us. We're pretty involved in different charities and stuff locally where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And our hope would be that all families get to, you know, have no financial hardship and everyone can do whatever they want, whenever they want to do it. Right. I know that's not practical. So it does suck to kind of know that there are some families that are never going to get to experience kind of what we think is a very joyous thing to do and very fun for kids. It's such a limited window in your lifetime. And unfortunately, it's normally when it's hardest for families, when you're raising kids and they're young, when it would be the most fun. So that part's, you know, no good. But unfortunately for that innovation, for these new things to come up and for it, there to be, you know, competitive growing attractions that these parks have become, they got to charge money for it and they got to charge more money because everything's going up, you know, cost of materials, wages, cost of food, everything. So we get it. But it also wish that people, there was a little more mass access to it at the same time that more people can experience it.
Dole Whip. You like Dole Whip?
We're back and forth. Yeah. Here's the problem with Dole Whip. So everybody associates Dole Whip with Disney World. We actually live in a pretty small town, generally speaking, and there's a much smaller town, which most people would consider to be a small rural town, about 15 miles from us, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dairy bar there, like an old school, like 50 or 70 year old, like roadside, like dairy bar, like something you would see on like Route 66. And they have Dole Whip, and they've always had Dole Whip. So like we knew what Dole Whip was even before we started going to Disney World, and they kind of rotate their flavors. So
and now like the yogurt places all have it too.
We've been eating like Dole Whip, pineapple Dole Whip for a long time. It's been available to us locally. And we didn't realize how unique that was until we started getting pretty heavily involved in Disney World.
Well, hey guys, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat about Disney and all things Disney. And I'm glad we got to nerd out a little bit on some Marvel. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we, you know, I hope I will be following your page. I know you said it's mostly women, but you know what? I'm going to follow your page. The foot pick had me. You had me at the foot pick.
Right?
So I'm, you know, I'm there. So, and B's definitely there. So thank you guys. And again, best wishes on your Disney escapades.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye now. Okay, guys, now you are ready to book your Disney vacation, I'm sure. Or at least watch a Marvel movie. One of the two you're going to do. I hope you enjoyed our chat with Paul and Frank. Don't forget, follow them on Instagram at the Practically Perfect Family. Follow Work Advice for Me on Instagram. Leave us a question if you have one. WorkAdviceForMe@gmail.com. Don't forget, like and subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Leave us a good review. We don't like bad reviews. Hey, Work Advice for Me is brought to you by Hoopcast. My name is Brad, and I'm going to Disney. I'll see you next week on Work Advice for Me.